Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Among the most profound effects of the Open Road Photography exhibit at the Milwaukee Art Museum is the realization that many of the international photographers represented are showing America to Americans. Much of the photography comes from groundbreaking photographers whose imagination was captured by the idea of the great American road trip.
But there is equally affecting work from photographers who have lived here their entire lives and who went out on the road and returned with images of an America that looks familiar, but which we may not ever have seen in just that way.
Case in point is Minnesota photographer Alex Soth. The exhibit features images from his 2004 collection, Sleeping by the Mississippi. Images like a man in a green union suit and balaclava holding two model airplanes on his roof, and a melancholy image of a gas station in Fountain City, Wisconsin, glowing in the evening in front of a snowy hillside cemetery. Soth spoke about his work at the Art Museum earlier this month, and we caught up with him before that event. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk.
It's really great to be here. Thank you.
When did you become a photographer?
This is a little hard to answer because I didn't actually pick up a camera until my college years. I wanted to be a real artist, a painter and then a sculptor. But I started doing these outdoor sculptures and documenting them photographically, and this led me to photography. So technically, you know, I fell in love with the medium in college, but I didn't become a professional, you know, until my 30s.
You're Sleeping by the Mississippi project, which is, part of this exhibition, is alongside the work of some photographers who went very far afield to explore America. You stayed more or less in the middle of the country, which is close to home for you, although, you know, you obviously went fairly far south. Is there some appeal to you in exploring places that are familiar to some degree?
Definitely. So just as I wasn't really drawn to photography when I was young, I was not a big, you know, world traveler. And you know, it's funny because I now have this sort of reputation as this globetrotter, but I'm not at all. And a little bit of a homebody. And I've, over the years, I've photographed in, you know, China and India and all this. But what I love is photographing in a place where I speak the language and not just literally speak, you know, the language, but I know the nuances. I always say that photography is a language, and then I speak this particularly, you know, American dialect, and it's really a Middle American dialect, actually.
Do you feel like you're telling a story with your photos the same way a writer is telling the story?
Unfortunately, no. I have a real complex about storytelling and narrative. I long to be a storyteller, but that's not exactly what photography does. I think it suggests stories, and you leave it to the viewer to kind of fill them in. That's the great pleasure of looking at photographs. But I envy storytellers.
Well, I was wondering if even, you know, separate from the idea of narrative arc, whether when you're working on a project, whether one photo informs the next as you look for it.
Absolutely. That's the whole thing is that, photography is this medium. I think it's, on the one hand, it's incredibly simple. Anyone can do it. We all have these cameras. And every day, people are making masterpieces, incredible photographs that had never been made before. But to make a group of pictures that work together, that are connected to each other, it's just an incredibly difficult achievement. And it's like this puzzle with half the pieces missing that you're trying to figure out. That ambition to put those things together is what I'm after.
How much, when you are out on a project, how much do you plot out beforehand? And what is either serendipity or some cross between planning and serendipity?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's like planned serendipity is what it is. So I do a lot of research. You know, I create a map, create the parameters. And it's almost like a treasure hunt with all these things that I'm looking for on the map. But this act of looking generally leads to something that you could never imagine. I am not a photographer that can just drive aimlessly. I need to be on a mission. But it can be a really trivial mission in some ways.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. I mean, back in the time when I was making Sleeping by the Mississippi, I had this business card, and on the business card was just a list of things I was interested in. Airplanes, unusually tall people, sheep, and, you know, these things that I liked looking at. And often I would make a list on my steering wheel, write down this list of things as I was driving, just to keep an eye out for. I often use the analogy of driving games, you know, where you're looking for a letter on a sign, that sort of thing. And the way that sort of focuses your attention. And when that attention is focused, you can see something else.
One of the things that when I interviewed David Campany, who uh-huh. you know, put this exhibit together, when I interviewed him, he was talking about the idea of the windshield or the window of a car almost functioning like the viewfinder of a camera. Does that hold true for you? Do you? I mean, is there some, I don't know, creative effect of looking out the window?
It's absolutely true, but it's something that I've been thinking about lately in terms of the way photography is. It's a way of being in the world but separate from the world, essentially. And sometimes I find this problematic, that I'm engaged but I'm behind the hood of a dark cloth, behind the lens of a camera, behind the windshield, and the way in our modern life we're in these cars and in these little bubbles driving around in the world, but not in the world. That's for me why photography is such a modern medium and somehow connects with partly the kind of the loneliness of our time.
Are there days when it's just not happening for you, when you're out there and nothing looks like you want it to look behind the, you know, through the lens or?
Never. It's always magic.
Yeah, exactly.
No. No. Oh my God. Yes. I mean, this, what I was saying about photography being easy, it drives me crazy because it's just the other day I was looking at this collector has this collection of vernacular pictures, amateur pictures. So many of these pictures are better than anything I could ever take in my life. So why is it that I'm a professional? I make a living doing this, and I go out and I can't find a thing. And it's completely aggravating. Yeah.
You mentioned, you know, going out and you know, for example, looking for people who are very tall.
Mm-hmm.
You take a lot of photographs of people with whom you were not previously acquainted, what we might call strangers. What's the process like for you to approach people who had no idea when they woke up that morning that they would be the subject of your photography?
It's, you know, approaching strangers is exhausting and it's personally exhausting, so because it's not natural to me. I'm not that person that talks to strangers, and in fact, I was a very shy person growing up. So in a lot of ways, photography became this form of like immersion therapy for me. It's a struggle and it's exhausting, but it's also thrilling to have these encounters, to go out and make contact with another human being and have this intimate exchange. And sometimes it's so much more intimate than an experience I would have with someone that I've known for years. And this is the beauty of art and journalism is the way you can just touch something really deep, sometimes very quickly, and then you move on and just reflect on that moment.
Yeah. Do you feel like you are changed in some way by all these interactions you have with people you'd never met?
I'm absolutely changed, but it's hard to put my finger on it and to quantify it, nor do I understand what it means to other people. You know, so when I made Sleeping by the Mississippi, I sent everyone I photographed a copy of the picture. I never heard back once from one of those people, you know, and perhaps the picture's in their living room or perhaps it went straight in the garbage. I'll never know. But those experiences, you know, are part of my life all these years later.
I mean, it's funny, as I was thinking of that question, I mean, I think of having the recorder and microphone almost as though it's kind of armor is the wrong word, probably, but it allows me to approach somebody I otherwise never in a million years would feel comfortable just walking up to and speaking with. And I wondered if it was like that for you, whether you ever would, you know, engage someone without the camera with you.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's just this excuse. I mean, I think it's like, it's made being like a tourist of the world, you know, so much richer. And, you know, when I was making Sleeping by the Mississippi, I realized, well, I've always been fascinated by prisons, for example. Like, I can just go into a prison. I can get access to a prison, even though I had no credentials, which is still sort of miraculous. And, yeah, the things that I've been able to see and experience are fantastic. Where it's problematic, I should say, since you bring up audio, is that I am... You know, I have to deal with the fact that I'm commodifying this experience as a object that lives on a wall, and that this human life that I've encountered is going to be represented on a wall, and people potentially could buy that photograph. And this is a little bit different than audio, and I think is ethically problematic at times.
Yeah, I mean, is it a question of worrying that you're exploiting them in some way?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I don't have a great answer for that. It's something I really struggle with. And I recently stopped photographing people for a year just because I felt the burden of this question. Yeah.
I wonder if one of the effects of the democratization of photography, if you will, and I guess it's really always kind of been democratized, but, you know, mm-hmm. the proliferation of the phones in everyone's pockets is people are more used to being photographed all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but it's quickly becomes aware how different this experience is when I'm making a picture. Often it's with a very large camera, and with film, which is actually now it's like people used to understand what film was. Now they're looking at the back of my camera, wanting to see the picture. It's going to take 3 weeks. So it's changed, but it's the same. And as you mentioned, the medium has always been like this. There have always been millions of pictures, and people always took pictures of Christmas or what have you. It's not so different.
David Campany talked about the phenomenon of the accidental masterpiece that occurs in photography that doesn't occur in oil painting.
Totally. Yeah, it really doesn't occur. Is there another medium in which this happens? It's fascinating. Yeah.
Do you think the proliferation of the phone in everyone's pocket has had an impact at all on what you do?
You know, it's funny because I, for the longest time, I didn't think it was affecting me. And then it was like 6 months ago, I suddenly, like, I blurted out in my studio, like, you know what? I think these phones are changing things. I mean, it really, we have hit this new level. And I don't know. I haven't sorted it all out. And I feel like it's not for me and people my age to sort out all of this. But, I mean, what I always say is that writers don't fret about people having conversations, you know, and people are having conversations now with their pictures and their phones, but that's not really the same as literature. So there's still this other world.
At the same time, you do have, I think it was when I checked, 144,000 followers on Instagram.
I guess. But you know what I just found out? I'm not verified on Instagram. So
that might not be you.
It might not be me. Right.
Do you think of when you do take a, you know, you have someone who is, they're posing for the photo in some way. Is it a portrait you're creating?
I mean...
Is that a loaded word?
Well, portrait is a loaded word, but somewhere recently I encountered a definition of it, which is an image of a person in which they know the image is being made, essentially. And I'm comfortable with that definition. What I don't think a portrait does is, you know, it doesn't reveal anyone's soul or their full history. It's light reflecting off the surface of skin and clothing. and we read into that what we read into that. But this exchange that happens with portraiture, where they know that I'm taking their picture, this is a very charged experience, and it's a relationship at that time of the making, and becomes a relationship with the image and the viewer. I'm now photographing people again, and I'm more excited than ever about that energy between the sitter and myself.
So obviously the magic doesn't always happen, but when the magic is happening, how do you describe the feeling that that
Minnesota photographer Alex Soth's Sleeping by the Mississippi photos are featured in the Open Road exhibition, which is on right now at the Milwaukee Art Museum. You can see one of those works and hear our interview with the curators of the exhibit at WUWM.com.